Good morning. Welcome to First Reformed Church and this beautiful sunny morning. This morning, let's start with a hymn, America the Beautiful, hymn number 600. Please join us and we'll sing. Hymn number 599, God of Our Fathers. And let's sing to the Lord who's given us this day and a wonderful day and the free country that we have to be able to worship him. Please stand and join us with God of Our Fathers, verses 1 through 4.
Thank you.
may be seated. I wanted to share a thought with you this morning, but before we went into our call to worship and our prayer. But Psalm 136 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." Oop, hold on. It does say that, but that's not what I wanted to say. What I wanted to say was Psalm 29, 1 through 4. "Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic." I guess I had everybody sit. Normally we would stand for this, but let's pray. It is your voice we long for this morning. Lord, thundering into our lives, mighty and powerful. The voice of wisdom instructing us. The voice of justice inspiring us. The voice of hope encouraging us. The voice of love calling us home. Open our hearts to you this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so next we have a responsive reading, God in the Nations. "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing forth in valleys and hills. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper.
And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you.
Take heed lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I command you this day. Be aware, lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten this wealth. Let's pray one more time. Dear Lord, you are all glorious, creator of all from the most delicate blossom to the vast oceans. We gather together today to praise you, to reconnect to our wonder and awe over a Lord so powerful and mighty, yet so full of love for us, it is hard to comprehend. A love so great you sent your Son to die for our sins. We return your love, yet continue to sin. Please hear our confessions. We get caught up in this world and forget you amongst the things of man, work and home, the mad rush of the day, the latest news, protests, violence, and sickness. Oh Lord, we confess, carrying the worry instead of opening our hearts to you, judging others, holding on to the hardness instead of loving our neighbors, trying to control the world around us instead of trusting you. Yet there you are, Lord, still with us, calling us back to you, sending us blessings, even in the midst of chaos. Thank you, Lord, for people, our family, our friends, our community, for the world around us that demonstrates your glory every time we stop and take the time to notice. Sunrises, the birds and insects singing your praise, and the rain you send to nurture our crops and our livelihood. Thank you for this country you have blessed us with and our leaders. Continue to guide them as they lead us through troubled times and to protect our freedoms to worship you. Lord, watch over us as we face sickness. Grant strength to those of us who are ill, to Don Lucas and her family, to Pastor Dave, as they go through cancer or cancer treatment and recovery. Strengthen those among us who face heavy burdens, who live with pain, physical and emotional and spiritual. Thank you that you were with us at the moment of death and continue to be with those who are left behind to grieve. Thank you for calling us to you and for the hope you bring through the promise of eternal life. Bless and guide those who share you with the world and give them the words needed when called to testify. Send the Holy Spirit that we may light the world around us with your word. Bless Pastor Frank as he leads us in fellowship with you today. Show us how to magnify, amplify, and glorify your name in all we do and all we say. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Next, we have special music by Al Koima.
Thank you.
Thank you for that beautiful song. Sometimes my nervousness gets in the way of what I want to say, and I guess what I feel God should, is coming through me to say, because I get anxious up here, and I did miss the announcements this morning, so I wanted to go back and just highlight that if you look in the bulletin, Pastor Dave's son, he got married. So they announced the marriage of their son, Ben to Sarah, on June 12th, and then continue to pray for the members in our church who are ill, Don Lucas, Bernita Koyama, Jody Kerner, and Pastor Dave. So, and now we'll continue on with our next hymn 303, It Took a Miracle. Please rise.
Please be seated. I want everybody to hold their hands up like this. Let's count fingers. Boy, they shoot off some big fireworks up here in this country up here. We had a bunch of them last night in Bruce that were quite loud.
But nice.
Beautiful. I do want to say something, and I don't, please don't hear this as being a political statement, but over the last few months, I think a lot of us have really, really been down, not so much of our country, but just all the happenings with the COVID and with the destruction and violence and all the stuff is going on, and I just think a lot of us have, I'm not saying we've lost faith in our country, but it just hasn't seemed to me to be really normal. And then Friday night, I got to witness something that just, it was astounding for me. And I know there may be some people here that was against having the president come to Mount Rushmore and to have the spectacular and the celebration. But I watched that on TV, and just for that moment, for that couple hours, my faith in America came back, and I just felt so what a powerful nation we got, what a beautiful nation that we have. And to be able to celebrate that, it just renewed my feelings of how much I love this country. And so, well, now we can go back to COVID, I guess, and we can go back to all the garbage that is going on and everything. But for one night, I don't know, how many of you saw it on TV? Or I know there was a couple that were going from here, and they were going to be there. And Scott, well, how was it in person?
Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. You know, I spent 1/4 of July at Rushmore where they had fireworks, and I was there for this was back in the 80s. But, wow, it was really something. So, anyway, again, I didn't bring that up to be political. I just thought for me, for one night, I just felt really good about our country, and I just hope that we can all, going forward, we can celebrate. And what a great song. What a great song that you sang, Al. I love that. Okay, so today we continue in our study of Mark. Today we're going to talk about miracles. We're going to talk about miracles, and it took a miracle. And we're going to talk about the miracles of Christ, and we're going to find out that there's something that we have to do. There's something that Christ requires of us in order for Him to do miracles in our lives. And I think you pretty well all know what that is, but let's go forward and let me read the scripture passage. Mark chapter 6, I'm going to be reading verses 1 through verse 6a. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given him, that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "Only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there, except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them." And he was amazed at their faith. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for being with us. We thank you for this great country that we are allowed to live in, this great country that we were been born and raised in, the freedom that we have, the freedom that we have by living in this great, great country. We celebrate on this day after Independence Day. And Lord, may our celebration continue. Lord, go with us now. Go with us now in this service. Lord, may we give you all the glory, all the praise. Guide us in the words that we will speak now. And Lord, may our hearts be attuned to you. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Well, back in 2006, I was privileged to attend a funeral of a former president of the United States. Back in 2006, I was pastoring a church in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and it was about four blocks away from the church where former President Gerald Ford had his service. So I took my wife and my two kids, and we walked the four blocks down to that beautiful church that was down there. And we sat on the grass. We weren't invited to go inside. I don't know why. But we got to sit out front, and we got to watch all the dignitaries going in and out and everything. But we did. We got to attend a funeral of a former president of the United States. And to most people in Grand Rapids, Gerald Ford was Jerry. That's what everybody knew him by, was Jerry. He grew up in Grand Rapids. Everybody in Grand Rapids loved Jerry. And here Jerry was returning to his hometown. He was a hometown hero. I never heard a bad thing spoken about Jerry. And it made me proud at that time to be a Grand Rapidian, I think that's Rapidian. Have you ever heard of the Grand Rapids? Grand Rapidian. Well, anyway, that's what I was at that time. I was a Grand Rapidian. Well, in our passage today, we see that Jesus did not get the same treatment, did he? He didn't get the same treatment as Jerry did. It was not a welcoming home for Jesus at all. Jesus just couldn't please those folks who should have been his biggest fans. It reminds me of the man who came home one day after work, came home to a cranky wife. I've never done that. I don't have a cranky wife. Oh, boy. Anyway, he arrived at 6:30 p.m., and he spent an hour trying to cheer up his wife, but to no avail. Then he had this idea. He said, I think I'll go outside and come back in again. So that's what he did. He went outside and came back in again, and his wife said, it's 7:30 and you're just now getting home? Well, anyway, how many of you saw years ago, I don't even know how many years ago it was, but it was a great movie, I thought. Oh, God, remember that? Remember Old God with John Denver and George Burns? Anyway, John Denver was a store manager, and he gets to meet God, played by George Burns. John Denver got this letter telling him that he was called to meet God. And he thinks it's a big joke, but he went anyway. He went anyway to see what it was all about. And he was in this big empty room, and he hears the voice of God. But he wanted God to show himself. And reluctantly, God appears looking a little bit like George Burns. God stands there as an old man with thick glasses, dressed in baggy pants and tennis shoes and a windbreaker and a golf hat. And John Denver stares at him, mouth open. God replies, well, what did you expect? What did you expect? And this is what happened, I believe, in our scripture today. There Jesus was in the flesh, standing there in front of these folks in Nazareth, his hometown, the town that he grew up in, the church that he was taught in, the church that he worshiped in. And he was saying, what did you expect? What did you expect? They weren't able to recognize the Messiah. Why? Because he was one of them. He was the carpenter to them. He was Mary's son, Jesus. It's not that they didn't know that God was going to send a Messiah at some point in time. They knew, didn't they? They had the scriptures. To them, the Old Testament was the scriptures. And they had all heard what the prophets had to say, that God was going to send a Messiah. But they didn't recognize him, did they? They didn't recognize him. I've heard this passage preached before, and you probably have too, and I'm almost always heard it preached that a prophet won't be honored in his hometown. That the people who they grew up with, that the people who this person grew up always thinks of you as a neighbor kid. That they will never respect your greatness. And that's the way that I've always heard it preached. But that isn't what this passage is all about, folks. It's not about that at all. It's not about accepting your hometown hero. And it's not about that. It's about, That just sets it up what this is all about, what Jesus was trying to say. What this passage is about, folks, is that we must believe in Jesus Christ for him to do miracles in our lives. That's the thesis of this passage. We must believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior in order for him to do miracles in our lives. Well, there was a problem for these folks, wasn't there? There was a problem because of their lack of belief in Christ. He did not do any miracles in their lives. That's what we saw happen here, wasn't it? Because they didn't believe that he was the Messiah, that they didn't believe that he was the one that God had sent to save the world from their sins. Of course, back then, they were thinking the Messiah was a whole different creature altogether. They thought he was going to be an earthly king, that he was going to save them from Rome. But that isn't what Jesus came to this earth for. He came to save us. He came to be a heavenly king, to save us from our sins. But these people here in Nazareth, they were not a bit bashful at all about spouting off their lack of faith, were they? When you start reading verse 2, well, you're kind of thinking, well, this is going to be a pretty good reception. You think that they were really happy to have him there. In what it says is when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Well, they were amazed in the wrong way, weren't they? They were amazed in the wrong way. Until you put it into context of what happened next and what they had to say next, when you put it into that context. Where did this man get these things? What's this wisdom has been given him that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And what did they do? They took offense at him, didn't they? They were amazed and offended that Jesus was trying to pawn himself off as a learned rabbi. And they said, doesn't this guy have any religious training at all? He didn't even go to seminary. What does he know? He was a carpenter. He was Mary's son. He's just one of us, a working stiff. He's Mary's son. Well, a carpenter, it might have been, well, he just pounded. But there, I think it was more to it. He was probably one of these guys that did odd jobs. And he did odd jobs around town, fixing things and doing this and that. So he probably was not looked up to too much. I'm sure he had calluses on his hands. And I don't know if you noticed or not, but they said he was Mary's son. Well, in that culture, normally he would have been Joseph's son. Whether Joseph was still alive or not, he would have been called Joseph's son. Do you know why they called him Mary's son? Does anybody know? Because Mary was pregnant with him before she got married. And this was small town. You don't think they remember that? We now live in the town of Bruce, 206 people. 200, they haven't changed their sign yet. I don't know, they're a little slow up there. But I'm guessing if somebody got pregnant before they got married in Bruce, South Dakota, I'm sure people would remember that, right? And probably in Volga too. How much bigger is Volga? How many people in Volga? More than 206. But that's something that would have been remembered. He was Mary's son. He was Mary's son. There was no way these folks were going to believe in Jesus. Nor were they going to believe the message that Jesus was bringing. Do you remember the message that Jesus was bringing all through Mark? And we first saw it back in the first chapter of Mark, verse 14, when Jesus says, "The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe in the good news." What was the good news? It was Jesus Christ himself. What Jesus was saying is, here, I'm standing in front of you. I am the good news. I am the way to salvation. I am the way to the miracles that you're looking for. I am he, and I stand before you. So what was Jesus' response to their lack of faith? Verse 5 tells us, he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. A few people believed in him, and Jesus did miracles for them. But most of them did not believe in him. So Jesus did not do miracles. The passage tells us Jesus could not do any miracles. Now, I don't want you to misread that. Of course Jesus could do miracles. He was God, sovereign God, omnipotent. You know what that word omnipotent means? He can do anything he wants to do. There is nothing that Jesus couldn't have done. He could have done anything he chose to do. But he chose not to. Because why? Because their lack of faith. Because they didn't believe that he was the Messiah. They didn't believe that he was Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior of all the world. They didn't believe. So let's bring the application. You know, we always like to bring the application. What in the world does that mean to us today? What does that mean for us today? Well, Jesus still chooses not to do miracles today. He still chooses not to do miracles today for those who do not believe. Jesus has not changed one little bit. I think this is where we got to take a look at that word miracles and what does it actually mean? Well, the Greek word, you know I like my word pericope. Well, this one here might be my second favorite word. It's dunamis. Dunamis. What does dunamis mean? It means powerful deeds. You get that word powerful? What is our word today that comes from the word dunamis? Dynamite. Dunamis is powerful deeds. Jesus was certainly capable of doing powerful deeds, wasn't he? When we look at the miracles, when we look at the powerful deeds that Jesus was doing, well, we think of the healing miracles, helping the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk, but there is much, much more about Jesus' miracles. It's much more than just the physical healing. I want to expand that word, dunamis. It's God's activity in our lives. Does that make more sense? These are the miracles that we have coming to us that Jesus will do in our lives. Is the miracles, the activity in our lives, the power and the guidance of God in our lives through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. So Christ today is still doing those miracles. Those miracles, the activity, God's activity in our lives today, isn't he? He just works through his Holy Spirit. He isn't standing in front of us like he was there in Nazareth. Now Jesus, since he has gone back to heaven, Jesus is working and doing his dunamis. He's doing his miracles through the Holy Spirit. In order to get that Holy Spirit, what do we need to do? We must believe and confess Jesus as Lord and Savior to get that power of guidance in our lives. And lack of belief, just like at Nazareth, causes Jesus to withhold those miracles. If we don't believe in Jesus, folks, we don't get the Holy Spirit. We don't get the Holy Spirit within us unless we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The last verse of our passage tells us that Jesus was amazed at their lack of faith. Even Jesus can't believe when people reject him. Even Jesus can't believe it when people reject him and reject the offer that he has to give us. There was once an atheist who was fishing in England. All of a sudden, a huge dragon-type amphibian began to come out of the water. With snarling teeth, it moved closer to the atheist. In desperation, he shouted out, "Dear God, please save me." And all of a sudden, everything stopped moving and the heavens opened up and a large voice said, "I thought you didn't believe in me." And to that, the atheist responded, "Give me a break. 2 minutes ago, I didn't believe in the Loch Ness Monster either." Well, belief in Jesus. Belief in Jesus allowed him to do miracles. That's the solution, folks, is to believe in him. Believe in him. Mark certainly did give us examples of Jesus doing miracles for those who believed, didn't he? Last week, if you were here, remember what I preached on? Remember the two folks that the synagogue ruler, Jairus, remember him, whose daughter was dying, and because this man's great faith in Jesus, Jesus stopped what he was doing, and he brought his daughter back to life. And the second person was a young lady who had been bleeding for 12 years, who really should never have been able to touch Jesus, but she reached out in faith, and touched the hem of his robe. Because of her faith, Jesus lovingly healed the suffering woman. And we see it throughout Mark, and we see it throughout the Gospels. Back in chapter 1, there was a man with leprosy who had faith, and Jesus healed him. In chapter 2, we read about the paralytic whose friends lowered him through the roof where Jesus had been preaching, and Jesus healed him because of his faith. What a beautiful story. I think I'm going to go back to chapter 2 next week, and I think I'm going to preach on that paralytic, because that's it's a fascinating story, I think, about faith. And we can't hear enough about faith, can we? And what it takes for Jesus to be in our lives. Well, these people and several others in the Gospels had great faith in the miracle work of Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus didn't disappoint them. You know, the Apostle Paul tells us in his letter to the Galatians that when we believe in Christ, we become God's sons and daughters. That in itself is a great miracle, isn't it? We become his heirs, and we receive every single thing that God has to offer us. Would you call that a miracle, folks? Would you call that a dunamis? Something that God gives us freely? It's through his grace. It's through his grace that we get it. We only have to believe. We who are sinners can be his sons and daughters, all through the redeeming blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are filled with the power and the guidance of his Holy Spirit. That's a miracle. But we must believe. Is Jesus still doing miracles today? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Some people think that we have to give up everything. We have to give up too much to follow Christ. But you know what? I'm thinking we give up a whole lot more by not following him. Would you agree with that? That we give up so much more if we don't believe, if we don't follow Jesus Christ. So believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and let him shower you with miracles. Let's pray. Holy God, we thank you. Thank you for the miracles that you do in our lives, for your great love for us and your activity in our lives and what you give us, Lord. And it's all for confessing and calling you Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. We thank you for that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please stand as we sing hymn number 310, I Know Whom I Have Believed. May God bless you. May he keep you. May you go out today. Remember our Independence Day. Remember what God has given us, a place to live in freedom. And may God be with you all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.